Welcome to Who's Who in Lake County, Ohio, your number one business spotlight podcast. I'm Joe Latanzio, your local realtor with eXp Realty and host of the show. The podcast is a place where conversations happen with some amazing local businesses that call Lake County, Ohio home. Get to know these businesses and their owners, what they offer, and learn about the unique qualities that make them an integral part of our community. From restaurants and retail shops to service providers and manufacturers, Lake County is home to a diverse range of businesses that contribute to its vibrant economy. Whether you're a resident, a visitor, someone looking to move here, or you're just passing through, Who's Who in Lake County is where you want to tune in and find a business that you can know, like, and trust. Today, we're talking with Chris Carraher. He's a project manager for Express Shredding and Great Lakes Record Center. And he's representing the business-to-business network of Mentor today. So thanks, Chris, for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me, Joe.
Absolutely, man. So tell me a little bit about, let's talk about Express Shredding and Great Lakes Records first.
Well, we're based in Mentor, and what I like to tell people that what we do is help business professionals like you, Joe, safeguard the reputation and integrity of their business. How we do that is through the destruction of sensitive, confidential, or proprietary documents through shredding or safeguarding those documents through offsite storage for their preservation and eventual retrieval if should be needed.
Okay. So you guys actually house documents as well?
We do. We have a 150,000 square foot warehouse located just off of Tyler Boulevard. It's protected by both security and fire suppression systems. We also have a vault that's accessible if the nature of the records should require it.
So like you house documents for businesses, personal people?
Businesses, local governments, individuals, physicians. A lot of people in the healthcare industry have medical documents. Other entities such as attorneys, accountants that have to retain the documents for so many years depending upon the requirements.
Right.
It really helps the businesses conserve valuable office space. When you look at the cost per square footage, which is increasing every year now, for a lot of people, it makes not only sense to do so for the room, but it also makes economic sense.
Don't most people record them, digitize them, and save them that way?
That is becoming more prevalent. But when you consider that from a legal standpoint, a lot of times the original documents need to be retained, particularly like corporate records, minutes, things of that nature, as well as other documents having to be retained for a specific amount of time, whether that's 7 years, 10 years, whatever the case may be. You still have to have those, even though you may have immediate access in your office or in your business to those records digitally.
Oh, okay. Yeah, as a real estate agent, I have to keep mine. I know we talked before. Do you guys actually do, you go out to companies and you have, I don't know, we, when we do them for real estate, like we have, it's like a shredding party, you know, so do you guys offer that service too?
We do. It can be either on a recurring basis, and we can customize that interval to whatever's appropriate for the business, whether it's a couple of times a month, monthly, quarterly, whatever the case may be. And then we also have other businesses that retain us to do annual document purchase that at the end of a year or every 18 months, they'll give us a call and we'll go out and take care of those documents in bulk.
Oh, okay. So you guys charge for that?
Or we do.
Okay, you do.
We are looking to partner with some of the charities. I started reviewing that yesterday to see who may be interested in doing that. So anybody that's listening to Who's Who, more encouraged to contact me. We also have a free shredding day coming up the last Saturday in April. It's a limit of 5 boxes, but if anyone wants to bring those boxes to our facility, give me a call. I'll give my contact information here later, and we can arrange to do that for you.
Okay, perfect. So you guys, after tax season, right? Is that?
That's the idea. Everybody wants to get rid of that. A lot of bad memories associated with those taxes.
I hear you, man. Tell me a little bit about you're representing the business-to-business network.
That's correct. As I mentioned, one of the things that's very important to Express Shredding is helping businesses preserve the integrity and reputation of their business. And as I was out meeting with people, meeting with other professionals, I saw how important that was to so many businesses and how it seemed to be becoming increasingly difficult to get connected with businesses that share those same principles. So one of the things that I have recently done is started the Business to Business Network of Mentor to give businesses and their representatives who share those principles and philosophies an opportunity to come together and network with one another.
So private networking group, it's not a paid group.
That's correct. One of the things that I have found very discouraging is you have the Chamber of Commerce, and I've been a member of several of them. They do a wonderful job. I can't praise the Chambers of Commerce enough, but they have a multitude of focuses for their members, and networking is only one, and a lot of times they'll only meet on a monthly basis. You then have the pay-to-play organizations, as I refer to them, and you have to pay an exorbitant membership fee, recurring dues, and a lot of times those groups, their membership seems to plateau at maybe about a dozen, and they're constantly struggling with attrition. So this is to give people something in the middle, so to speak, a little bit more frequent than the chambers as we meet weekly, but certainly not with the expense that you have with the pay-to-play groups.
Gotcha. When people want to come into your group, what are some of the things that, you know, as a member, you know, you have to be this type of person, stand up, you know, have integrity, things like that. What do you look at? How do you look at that? Reviews? Do you just interview them? How does that work for the group?
The first thing that we look at is we have to get to know the other person.
Right.
And certainly somebody can come in initially and represent themselves in any way, shape, or form. It's by getting to know, like, and trust one another that over time we get a true sense of how that person is actually doing business. One of the downfalls, in my opinion, of the pay-to-play groups is once somebody joins, they're given exclusive representation of that business category.
Right.
So, for example, Joe, if you were to join one, you would be locking out all other real estate agents. The problem with that is if you have a member that's occupying that space and you're not comfortable doing business with them for whatever reason, you don't have an alternative but to go outside the group. And a lot of times you find that out. I've been a member of several of those groups over the years, and there has always been somebody that I felt, I'm not going to refer one of my customers or friends or family members to those individuals because they're not going to get the job done in a professional or timely manner. So one of the things that B2B, as I refer to it, allows people to do is to get to know, like, and trust one another to see if that's actually the case. Can they deliver as they're promising?
Right. And this way, if not, then, hey, you know, get the hell out.
Exactly. And the results are going to speak for themselves. The people that are able to adhere to those principles are going to get referrals, and those who don't are not. And so it's pretty Darwin, but that's necessary.
Right. Now, do you guys track any of that?
We don't.
Referrals back and forth?
I know a lot of the pay-to-play groups do. They're very interested in how many referrals are being passed, what the dollar amount is being passed, things of that nature. The problem with that is what your expectation may be as being successful. It's not necessarily what I would consider to be successful. For you being in real estate, for example, a $500,000 deal may be a good deal to have. For me, it may be a $500 deal. So if the group is saying that, hey, we could attribute $2.5 million per year in sales, well, what does that mean? Who is that to? In your particular case, maybe that was one sale, a large commercial business, and everyone else had nothing. So it's not a true value of success. Whereas the group may say, hey, we have $100,000 in sales, but we had 10 members and it was $10,000 per year for each. They may be satisfied with that.
Right. I gotcha. Makes sense. I guess they depends on the group, right? Where the pros and cons kind of outweigh each other, mm-hmm. right? I know being in a group, you've got that, what do they call that? The viral effect, I guess, where, you know, you could get in a group and, or line up with people who, you know, give you referrals right away, you know, but then again, you also have access to, you know, their members, you know, their network, I should say, not members, but their network, right? And that could be, you know, you got 20 people that you have access to their network. That's hundreds, mm-hmm. you know, of potential.
You have the multiplier effect.
Right.
You know, if you know five people who know five people who know five people, that is in theory how it's supposed to work. But what it comes down to is at that initial starting point, at your initial point of contact, is this somebody I know, like, and trust?
Right.
And we'll refer business to them. And that's what we're all about.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've never been in a pay-to-play networking group. I've never, other than the chamber, you know, mm-hmm. I that I've joined. So I really don't know pros and cons. Never really looked it up, you know, about being in a networking group. You know, do you think it's worth the time that you spend?
I absolutely believe it's worth the time. There's a saying that there's no such thing as knowing too many people.
Right.
And really, that's what networking is about. Unfortunately, too many people today enter networking, whether it's through the chamber, whether it's through the pay-to-play groups, with the mentality of what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? And really, what their focus should be is, how can I help others? How can I help my customers, my clients, my patients, whoever it is that you're serving? How can I be of help to them? How can I be a resource? How can I make sure those are quality resources that are going to help people? That's what's key. It's not how many sales can I get out of this. This is how so many people look at it.
Oh yeah.
And when they first go in, they're expecting to have all these sales come in from, you know,
other referrals get handed to them just because they joined or they're paying, you know, for that group.
That's what they're expecting.
I don't know, like, what do they offer? So as a pay-to-play group, you know, what is it they actually offer you other than going to a meeting? Do they educate you on different industries, things that are going on? How about self-development? How about business practices, marketing practices? Do they do any of that?
Some groups do a better job at it than others. But for the most part, that is not their focus. You may have some annual training that you can voluntarily participate in to expand upon your skills, to improve your skills in networking. But few people take advantage of it. The biggest selling point of the pay-to-play groups is the exclusivity of the business category. And people think that because of that, hey, I'm locked in with these members and their referrals. And it's really not, because when you're coming in as a new business, most of these existing members have already established a long-term positive relationship with somebody outside the network.
Right.
And until you can prove otherwise, or if you have a value proposition that's going to supersede what they're already having, you're going to be shut out. And the same thing is going to be true of the referrals. They may pass a referral to you because you're a member of the group. Let's say, hey, I have a neighbor who's, you know, selling his house. Joe, you know, here's somebody to contact. And that's great. That's an opportunity you may not have otherwise had.
Right.
But if they already have someone else they're associated with.
As a new member, you may not get that lead.
You may not get that.
Because they don't know who you are. They don't know how you work.
Right. Or you're going to be in competition with somebody that they already have a connection with.
Right.
I was recently at a pay-to-play networking meeting, and the person that was giving the presentation, who had been a member of the group for a year, stood right up there and talked about how he was doing with business with another bank, despite a member being there and present and representing a different one. because he had already had those connections established.
How did that go over?
Well, it wasn't me. So I could tell you, though, if I were in that position, that would be tough to take because...
I mean, I'd be pissed off as a, I think, just because I'm paying, mm-hmm. right, to be right. in this group to, I guess, for referrals. I mean, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you're paying for referrals. I mean...
And that's exactly the key, Joe, is if you are given the promise of exclusivity, but yet... In reality, you know members do not have to abide by that, and that in all likelihood, if they already have established contacts, that's who they're going to go with, then why bother? Why are you paying that money?
Right. So how does your group work?
Our group works, first of all, there's not exclusivity for membership. So we could have one real estate agent. We could have five real estate agents. The argument so many people make, well, I don't want to have to come in and compete. Why not? That's the way the real world works. And that is your value proposition so weak that it can't stand the competition of somebody else coming in? Or are you so good at your job? Are you so successful that this isn't going to be an issue? And that's what we're really trying to do is make sure that we're keeping a free and open market to compete on the legitimacy of your business and how you do business.
You have multiple businesses mm-hmm. in your group.
We do.
And that's interesting because I've always thought any networking group, and you know, even as I, you know, thinking of developing one myself, but wanting it to only be exclusive to one company per industry. What outside of that do you guys offer in your group?
What we're offering is an opportunity for everyone to compete on the same field and make it a level playing field and present the best offer that they have to make. You need to come in and do your best because that's what the market's going to dictate. And if you're threatened by having competition coming into the same room as you are, then this is not the group for you. And it's really no different than the Chamber of Commerce networking opportunities. The Chamber doesn't limit their membership right. to exclusivity.
Right.
You can have multiple members in the same business category. And this is along the same lines. It's going to be who's going to do the best job for us. And
it kind of weeds people out, I think.
It does. It does weed people out. And that's why I was referred to it earlier. I understand it is quite Darwinistic. But the other thing is if you are very good at your profession, you may have the good problem of saying, you know what, I'm too busy.
Right.
I need to pass this off to somebody. And that's one of the reasons why we allow multiple members in. Because if you have somebody who's not getting to the client or cannot get to the client quick enough or within their time frame, you want to be able to have a backup to that.
What are your thoughts about, say you've got four real estate agents, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. Different personalities, but you know that your particular person that you want to refer to a real estate agent would do better with somebody with a certain type of personality. Right. So
I saw that happen here within the past week. I had a member of a group say, you know, I'm not going to refer to this particular real estate agent because their personality just rubs me the wrong way. You can make the argument, well, is that a good enough reason? But the fact is if it's rubbing that person the wrong way, it's a pretty good chance it's going to be rubbing their client the wrong way as well. They right. found that person a bit abrasive, despite that agent being very successful at their job.
Right. Yeah.
But I think that's important. When you know your own clients and customers, you know what their expectations are. You probably have a good feel for their personality.
Absolutely.
We've all had, you know, clients that were of a different breed. And you know, this is going to take somebody special to deal with this individual. And so you want to have a large pool to draw from to be able to help that person.
I gotcha. That makes sense. I mean, I look for that sometimes as well. You know, when I know I'm dealing with a certain client, it's like, well, who do you hook them up with that's in your network? You know, where they're not going to feel a certain way, you know, because they're two different personalities. Mm-hmm. So I understand that. How do you get into your group? Is it an invite, invitation only? Do you have meetings where you say, okay, people can bring other people? I mean, how big is your group?
We are right now at 15 members, and we are growing. But one of the reasons I wanted to be a part of this podcast is to help get the word out, because we do welcome anyone who is serious about networking, wants to become involved, and they understand the value of it.
Absolutely. Okay. So when somebody comes in, are they allowed to see who's in the group and check the roster out so they can say, okay, oh, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so?
Absolutely. You know? One of our key principles is to be transparent. And that applies not only to our individual business practices, but to our participation in the group as well. We're very upfront with people that there's no fee, there's no exclusivity of membership. In fact, we don't even consider it membership. It's simply participation. And no, this is who is already in the group and been participating on a regular basis. And it's up to you to decide whether you're comfortable with that or not.
Right. Okay. Where can they find you? Both places. Express Shredding.
Express Shredding. We're at 8001 Moving Way in beautiful Mender, Ohio. They can give me a call at area code 440-510-5700. For the business-to-business exchange, you can call that same number, or you can go on to Facebook, look us up there. We're referred to as B2B. Those are the letter B, number 2B, dot Mender, Ohio, and that's on Facebook.
All right. Awesome. So as we kind of wrap up here, I had asked you to provide a couple of questions that maybe had some fun, maybe had some your interests, get to know who you are. So one of them was, if you could have coffee with any historical figure, who would you pick?
I would pick Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, nice.
Not only because he served as president at such a pivotal time in our nation's history, but his style of leadership was to bring people of divergent and often opposing views together. I admire that so much in leadership, that somebody is willing to have an open mind and not be threatened by dissension or opposition, and willing to listen to the other person's point of view, because that's how we grow. That's how we come to understand, is being Absolutely. Subjected to new things.
Next one was, what was your favorite trip you ever taken?
The favorite trip that I have ever taken, and it was probably occurred a multiple times, was to Disney World. And that's when my daughter was little. We always stayed on property. And first of all, their transportation system there to get people between the properties and the parks is outstanding. I don't know if they're prior military people and or what experience they have, but they are second to none about moving a mass number of people in a very short time. Extremely efficient, and I admire that. But the thing that most impressed me most was their attention to detail. In our hotel room, the housekeeper would put my daughter's teddy bear into different positions, like he was watching television or reading a book, things like that. And so here we're spending all this money to go to Disney, and the highlight of the day is going back to the room to see what her teddy bear was doing. But it was by just that simple act, which I'm sure Disney encourages and expects their staff to do, but it's recognizing a detail like that that just made for a tremendous experience, not only for her, but for us, because
right,
it you know, as her mother and father brought us joy to see that she had joy. And so I thought that was great.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. The only thing I remember about that is on cruise ships. I've gone on cruise ships and they make the little animals out of the towels and put them on your bed. Another question you had was, how do you define success?
Success is when you're happy. If you wake up in the morning and you're happy that your eyelids had opened, that's success. I don't equate it with income, material possessions. If you wake up and you're happy, you're healthy, you have someone next to you that loves you, you know you're going to get up and have a day where you're going to encounter people that bring joy to your life, that's successful. Reality is that can't be true every moment of every day. You know, we do suffer hardships, suffer setbacks, but that's what success is, if you're happy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it's different for everybody, right?
Sure.
I mean, you know, some people do say, oh, success, I got the car in the driveway, I got the big house, you know. But I like that. I like that definition. Last one. What makes a good leader?
Again, I think it goes back to that open-mindedness, that willingness to listen, to know that just because I'm the quote-unquote leader, I don't necessarily have to have the answers. Matter of fact, if you're the leader and you're the smartest person in the room, you're probably in the wrong room. You should be surrounding your people or yourself with people that know more than you do, whether that's technical aspects, finances, human resources, whatever the case may be. You want to surround yourself with the very best. And if you're threatened by that, you're probably not going to be a good leader.
I agree. Well, that was pretty awesome, man. Thank you very much for coming on. Everyone knows how to get a hold of you. Great. All right, Chris. Well, thank you so much. Happy to have you on, man, and look forward to seeing you on and then maybe having you on again.
Hey, I appreciate it, Joe. It's great to be on Who's Who in Lake County.
All right. Thank you.